Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit lowes.com/holidayinstall to get started. Lowe's, we help, you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.
What should you do with extra found money? Today we're talking about the 60-40 principle and how it can help your finances. Welcome to Money Talk with Skyler Fleming, where you learn what you weren't taught in school. Let's get talking. Welcome to today's episode of Money Talk. I'm your host, Skyler Fleming. In today's episode, we're talking with Janine Bolin. This episode's a great one to help you get started with saving some money. Janine takes a great approach to start small with the extra money you find and then work up to applying the 60-40 principle that we're going to talk about to all of your finances. This is a great one today and you're certainly going to learn a lot. Of course, you need to remember to give yourself some time because that elusive 6 months emergency fund isn't going to be done overnight. It's just not possible. But Janine gives us a great bar to reach if you want to become a habitual saver, and her method is going to help you get there. So, if you have a hard time getting into the habit of saving money, then this episode is for you. If you're a perfect saver, then congrats and share this episode with someone in your life because there's likely someone you know who would benefit from receiving this episode and giving it a listen. So send them a link and then have a money talk about this episode with them. The money talking points for today's episode are: how does becoming aware of your financial situation help you make changes? And two, are rules of thumb good for you to implement or are they just extra noise that really confuse us? With the money talking points in mind, let's get talking. Hello, everybody. Welcome to today's interview on Money Talk with Skyler Fleming. Joining me today, I have Janine, and I'm excited for this conversation. This is going to be a fun one. We're talking about her 60-40 principle and some ways that it can apply to your life. But Janine, would you go ahead and introduce yourself for everyone?
Sure. Hi, I'm Janine Bolin, and I was an analytical biochemist that was working and got the flu that wouldn't go away. Come to find out after 10 years of marriage, I had four children. I don't know what happened with that, and ended up creating a system that would help my family live on only one income after we had been living on two. And that was the beginning and the genesis of the 60-40 principle. I never thought in my wildest dreams that 25 years later, I would be teaching this to so many people.
Awesome. We love a good origin story. And that's honestly where the best ideas are bred. Yeah. Honestly, like through those hard times where you just have to figure it out. So you're helping teach this now, but maybe enlighten us. What is the 60-40 principle?
Okay. I have so many videos on this. And like I said, I have been on podcasts and YouTube and all that good stuff since 2016 on YouTube. That was the first year we were able to upload. Until then, I was on MySpace. Yes, don't hate me. But I published in 2005, and I could not get publishers to be interested in what I had to say because I wasn't an authority. I was a college professor. I was homeschooling my four kids. I had come up with this thing. And like I said, I was an analytical biochemist. And so people were like, well, we don't even want to, you know, listen to you, lady. You have no cred. And so that was one of the things. But the Oprah Winfrey Show did contact me and reach out. I did not get on the show. And this is why. The 60-40 principle is simple. It's not sexy. Complex. It's not sexy and it's not complicated. And so the producers of that show were very sweet to me. I absolutely loved them, but they were like, sorry, Janine, you're just not sexy enough for what we need here for this show. And it was all said and fun. And I laughed with them and I understood that as far as entertainment value, it's not going to be that glistening, ooh, look at this radical person. It's so simple. And it's easy to implement. So here's the 60-40 principle. I really am. I promise you guys, I will always answer Skylar's questions, but I have a circular way of doing. I have a circular way of doing that, mainly because it is easy to make this complicated, and I really want you to keep this very, very simple for yourselves. Okay. So number one, the number one rule I want you to realize with the 60-40 principle is you only do this with money that is found money, money that comes to you that's unexpected, birthday gifts, bonuses at work, things like that. Don't use this on your paycheck yet. The ultimate goal is to eventually get to where you can do the 60-40 principle on all your income, but you're not there yet. Whether it's because you haven't graduated college yet, you haven't had your first full-time job yet, you are avoiding the 9-to-5 grind and you are an entrepreneur and nobody's going to tell you what to do. You know, there's all these reasons, right? So you want to make sure that you put the 60-40 principle to work on money that is not your income. Okay, we'll start with that. Okay.
Yes, there that we keeps go. It simple too. Like that's another step to simplify it, not complicate it.
I really want this to be so simple that you're like, duh, while that makes total sense. That's what my hope is that you will treat me like Homer Simpson and do the doy. It's as easy as a donut, you know? Okay, so this is the thing. 60-40 principle. 60% of your income, and then you have a five-pointed star, and 60% of your money goes to your checking account. Okay, so let's play pretend you have $100. $60 you're going to put into your checking account. $10, $10, $10, $10. So that's that 40% is those split up in four areas. And those four areas happen to be short-term savings, long-term savings, philanthropy, and charity or spirituality. Some people say tithing.
Yeah.
So it depends on your social compass, your moral compass as to which one you will go with, but that's how it's split up. So 60% goes into your checking account, 10% short-term savings, 10% long-term savings, 10% goes into philanthropy. Some people say charity. We'll explain the difference in a moment. And then 10% goes to a spiritual organization of your choice.
Yeah. Real quick, then, what is that charity and philanthropy difference?
Right. So what's the difference between charity and philanthropy? Charity can be anything. It can be time, goods, services, money, property, investments. There's so many things. Like when you are being charitable to someone, it can be all those things. Philanthropy means money or property. It does not mean your time. So when you're young, like when I was in college, I would donate blood. I would donate my time because I had no money. I did not have money. So as soon as I started making money, I realized I was running out of time, right? You become time deficient because now you are in the machine of making money and capitalism. And so that's when I thought, well, that's okay because I can donate my money. I can donate property. And some people have such an issue with philanthropy that they will actually say to me, Janine, can I go out and buy the products and the supplies that they need, put the kits together and give those to, and that's philanthropy? I went, no, you are controlling the usage of money. You must give the money to the organization and just hope for the best. Your job is to give the money, then the universe will start through the law of attraction and all that good stuff. We'll be able to bring it back to you. So that's the difference between charity and philanthropy. Yeah.
Awesome. I like the clarification there. I do think there's a difference in the way you defined it. So that's good. Awesome. How does this principle help people out? How's this going to help people?
Okay. I am going to address one question before. I know you asked me a question, but I'm always asked this. So I want to clarify. What if you do not belong to a spiritual organization? What should happen with that other 10%? Guess what? Have it go to an organization that is feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, so to speak, freeing the enslaved, right? Helping people be fed. So start looking at food, clothing, shelter. How can you assist somebody with basic needs and go to those sorts of organizations? The whole idea is that you need to give 20% of the money away. That's how it kind of regenerates. That's the regenerative principle. So I just wanted to answer that because people always say, but what if I don't belong to a spiritual organization? Yeah. So back to your question, how does this help people? The first of all, it helps you ditch your debt and you start becoming a habitual saver. What is a habitual saver? It's somebody who has money constantly and consistently going into their savings account. If you can save up to $2,000, you are considered a habitual saver. That's the bar. As soon as you get $2,000 in your savings account, you want to open up what we call some sort of a mutual fund, money market account, something like that, where you can start building that wealth. But you want to make it less easy for you to have access to that money. And oh my goodness, we have so many things that we did not have in 2005 now. Let me tell you, 20 years makes a big difference. We have apps now. You've got Credit Karma. You've got small day loans. You have Invest. Yeah. There's so many different things that you can do. And the thing is it can make it all seem very complicated. And I want you to keep it simple. Keep the 60-40 principle in your head, decide where that money is going to go. And until you get $2,000 in that savings account, don't move into doing all kinds of other stuff with it. What mm-hmm. you want to do is have that $2,000. We'll talk to you about what you do with it next. But then you can start differentiating out into other things. The idea is this. You want to have 6 months worth of expenses saved up. You're not going to do that all at once. That's going to take some time. But mm-hmm. you want to secure yourself against those unexpected life events that cause you to be unemployed all of a sudden. So you want to have 6 months of cushion until you can find the next occupation, right? So there's that aspect of it. The other mm-hmm. thing is you want to be able to afford the premiums and the copays on your insurance. And so you want to have cash in hand in your short-term savings account for that as well. So that's why I always say to people, make sure you're building up your buffer first, and then you start doing all of the amazing things that you can do mm-hmm. now with investing and microloans and all that fun stuff. But how does the 60-40 principle help you? It helps you ditch your debt while you're saving money at the same time, mm-hmm. because that 60%, instead of just putting it into your checking account, you can take that 60% and put it into your credit card, all right? Mm-hmm. Or whatever other loan you might have that you're trying to pay down. And for some people, it's multiple loans they're paying down.
Yeah. And I like doing this with the found money, like you described, but at what point do you think we move from found money to doing this principle, I guess, expanding it? Mm-hmm. When does that come into play?
It comes into play usually with your first bonus. You start to realize after most of my students, after the first 90 days of them really focusing on the 60-40 principle and tracking their expenses, you can use an app for it. You can use, you know, Credit Karma or something like that to really mm-hmm. track every dollar, every penny that's going out. But when you start evaluating every penny that you're spending and the amount of enjoyment you got out of that money that you spent versus the amount of effort it took to get that money, when you start critically analyzing your expenses every single month, you'd spend 30 days and you look at it. And this is not about self-hate. This is not about self-criticism. It's about, did I receive the enjoyment that this, you know, spending of money promised? That's mm-hmm. what you're really digging into. And what I found for myself was No, I did not get enjoyment. And then some things it was like, absolutely. Like I learned two things about myself. Number one, I love to travel. It was worth every penny to go camping. It was worth every penny mm-hmm. to drive and spend $300 in gas money to get where I wanted to go. It was totally worth the hours I put in to accumulate that $300. Okay. It was worth it. Mm-hmm. The other one is books. I'm a total nut for books. And there are times where I actually was able to buy a first edition of my favorite author for $500, worth every penny to me. Yeah. To me, it wouldn't be for other people. And I'm aware of that. But see, this is the thing. I will eat peanut butter and jelly sandwiches or bologna sandwiches yeah. for months so that I have mac and cheese and ramen, and I'll take supplements to keep my health up. But I will do that so I can travel. Like you start to learn these things about yourself. You're totally willing. Some people would say, oh my God, that's such a sacrifice. Are you kidding me? No, I love what I do. I love my life. And you're starting to craft out that life you want for yourself based on your terms, not somebody else's.
Yeah. And you're speaking my peanut butter and jelly language. I swear I have it like every day for lunch and my wife's like, I could never do that. I was like, that's just me. Like, that's just what I like to do. Mm-hmm. But like you said, mm-hmm. there's certain areas where I want to spend money. Like a couple, like 6 months ago or so, my wife and I, my work trip was taking me to Florida, and they'll allow my wife to come over. Like, we have to go to Disney World. But because of those things that are maybe sacrifices to some people or just me knowing where we would like to spend our money, that trip was spent a ton of money, but it was an easy decision because, like you said, we're tracking our expenses. And honestly, that's the place that I tell everyone to start. Like, people will sometimes say, oh, you need to get a budget. You have to get on a budget. But I honestly think starting by tracking your expenses is a great place, because it allows you to so easily see what's going on in your life, because you really don't get that peer into your expenses until you start tracking it. So that's a great place to start. And I like how that moves us towards crafting the lifestyle we want.
When I first started teaching this back in 2005, so Skylar, I'm so excited because you said that, because I was told, no, budget. And I was like, no, track it, because you have freedom. See, and you feel it. You feel the difference. If you have a budget, it's like somebody is imposing a discipline on you, and you rebel as that little child, that emotional 3-year-old that says, but I want it now, right? But when you are tracking, you're just tracking what you've spent. I don't want people to feel guilty. I don't want them to feel shame. I'm a recovering Catholic. You know, it's like, I don't want you to feel these things. I want you to just like, oh, I spent this much. And then I spent this much, and I spent this much. And then at the end of the month, you look at what you spent. Was that in alignment with your contentment? Was that in alignment with how hard you worked for that cash? And that is that self-awareness that causes you to really make changes that are significant in your life. Yeah.
Yeah. And honestly, that'll kind of naturally lead you to budgeting, because you're like, how did I spend so much in one category? And I also just recently had a guest on where she mentioned the idea of journaling. And even that could be a good way to tack on that monthly review when you're saying, where did I spend my money? And you just write it down. You're like, well, I spent $100 at Starbucks. I don't feel good about that. I didn't realize I did that. And then it's easy to keep that thought in your mind. Once you're aware of it, that's all the power you need to really change your situation.
And let's talk about that, because that was something that David Bach discussed in The Millionaire, The Automatic Millionaire. He called it the latte factor, right? And so that's where a lot of that came from. People started attacking the coffee habit because it was easy. It was something people did every day. And how I chose to change that was, I really enjoyed my coffee that I made at home. I really just enjoyed it. I had a brand I liked and all that good stuff. And so I went out and I bought a $30 thermos. Okay. I bought one of the most expensive ones you could find at the time, and they paid $30. I think it'd be 50 now, but
or paid more. 30 they got some or fancy more. Ones.
Yeah. I'm not talking a Yeti level. Okay. I'm just saying, you know, I went and got a thermos, and it was amazing. I could put the whole pot of coffee in there. And then I would carry that around with me in my car, because of the work I had. I was going from site to site to site. So I learned to have sandwiches in glass containers, because I couldn't trust a plastic bag to keep my sandwich in one piece, right? So, you know, you have these things. So I always had my container of food. I always had my extra clothing that I might need, because I was stomping around different contract areas. But the biggest thing is, like you said, you start to see, okay, I spent $100 last month on coffee, so it's worth it to me to have a one-time purchase, let's play it big, of a $75 thermos that has all the bells and whistles, and then make my coffee at home, which is, at the time that I was doing the math, it was only 25 cents a cup. I think now I was doing the math and it's something like 65 cents a cup if you brew your own. Anyway, and I'll fill that up with my thermos. And it may take me time, you know, the second month I really won't see significance, but I will see that $100 come back to me by the 90-day mark, because in that third month, that's when I'll start making my money back. So that's the way to kind of think about your money.
Once you're aware of it, you can say, oh, that's actually not that bad to go spend $75 on a nice thing that's going to last you a couple years. Because like in my scenario with my sandwiches, it's very easy. One day I forget my lunch. I have to walk over to Wendy's. I'm like, wow, I just spent like $6 or $7 on just lunch for me. I can buy one loaf of bread that's even a nicer loaf that tastes good for less than that, that lasts me 2 weeks or something like that. It's so much easier. Just find those things where you can save that extra bit and be willing to spend, because it's going to be cheaper than buying it repetitively from some fast food joint or something like that.
And that's where the wealth accumulators actually do better than those who are living paycheck to paycheck. And this is why, because they have that buffer, because you have that $2,500 to $2,500 in your short-term savings account, when you stumble into like bulk buying, or you see where something, you know, this one-time expense is going to save me being pecked to death by chickens is what my grandmother used to call it, you know, pecked to death by all those little expenses. I can just consolidate it and take care of it. That's where the power of the 60-40 principle really comes into play at that time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That buffer helps. It also helps you avoid debt. Like you said, it can help people stray away from debt. How does this get people out of debt? And what are some of the benefits of being debt free?
So how does it get people out of debt? Let's start there. Yes. A lot of people, when they get the bonus at work or money comes in unexpectedly, they have been in such a mode of deprivation that they just want to go blow it out. It's like, oh, we've got money. Let's enjoy it because we don't know where the next bolus dose of money is going to come from. So let's just do it, right? I encourage people to do that. You know, go ahead and go out and buy something, take your 60%, but take 30% of it and pay down some of your debt and then go blow the other 30%. See, I just want you to be self-aware of what you're doing so that you don't go into almost like a diet cycle where you're splurging and then you're starving.
Cheat day comes along with
the
big bonus.
Oh man, yeah. it's terrible, right? It's a terrible cycle to get in. And so that's how I recommend people do that. Now, what does it mean to live debt-free? Skylar, this is the challenge. This is the challenge. I can show you an orange. I can peel the orange in front of you. I can show you the slices. I can show you how it's dripping the juices off of it. You can smell the orange. But until you yourself taste the orange, you do not know what I am showing you. And this is the challenge of debt-free living. You know what it feels like to be in debt. All I can say is that when you pay off that last credit card and you are now totally in control of your own destiny and you are not living to pay off debt, it's freedom.
Yeah.
How do you describe freedom?
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. It's like when you ask someone, you just say, I'm in control. And that's how you put it. And like you said, when you're in debt, you know what that feels like. You know what needing to make that one more payment when you don't quite have enough and that strain that it puts on you. I used to, my origin story is working at a call center and we would have people call in all the time saying, can we skip this payment, put it to the end of the loan, that sort of stuff. Like that is the opposite of control. You're almost begging your loan provider to, hey, help me out here. But when that's gone, it's total freedom. I love the way you put that. Like you just, you have to experience it. It's a completely different sensation. I love it. That's fantastic. Rules of thumb. Rules of thumb are a great place for people to start. Guidelines are good for people to start. 60-40 rule can be considered a rule of thumb. There's all these things that help guide people along their path. Are these good for people to use or how should we go about it?
I think the first thing is sit with this for a bit. Decide if you want to commit. Don't be impulsive. Impulsivity is what got you to where you are and you want to change. And I encourage you to change. And the other thing is maybe I'm not the right person you would want to follow with this. Maybe you want to go with a David Bach or there's so many different really good teachers out there. I wish I could, my brain would allow me to remember their names.
Yes, but, there's a lot of authors. There's so many
really good authors. And when I first started teaching this and writing my books on it and doing online courses back in the dark ages of Zoom of 2015, when I first started doing this, there are still very good teachers out there. Just pick one and commit to following that person until you get out of debt. Don't be jumping around trying all these different solutions. Now, the 60-40 principle is very forgiving, but what I do is I encourage people, run around your house, look under your couch, look in your purse, your wallet, your car, gather up all that loose change that you might have. Now, a lot of people are living on credit cards, and so many people have told me, but Janine, I don't have any loose change. I'm like, seriously, you guys don't have a coin jar somewhere in the house?
Yeah, I do not, no.
Right? And that's what I'm finding is that used to be an old thing. It's not with the 20, like I said, a lot's happened in 20 years.
Yes,
so I used to tell people, get a coin jar, and what you would do is you would count all your stuff. Now, I have had students who were like, 15, 11, 10 years of age. And they actually did still have cash. Their parents or grandparents would still hand them cash. And one guy had $5.25. And so he split it up according to the 60-40 principle. And he took some of the money and put it in the bank, and he put it in envelopes because he didn't have enough money. And when he went to church that morning, that Sunday, he put it into the tithing plate, you know, all that fun stuff. And he was helping his mother put his younger siblings into their car seats, and they were at the Walmart parking lot, and a $20 bill came rolling toward the car in the wind. And he went, "Nobody move. It's mine." He knew that according to the 60-40 principle, that money was his. It was found money. It was rolling in the wind. It was coming straight at him. He grabbed it. He goes, "Thank you so much, Professor Boland. I am going to use this in 60-40. And so that's how you kind of start off, is that you make the commitment, you gather what monies you might have access to, and you can do this with 10 or 20 bucks and do the 60-40 principle. And what I say to people is, if you commit to this within 48 hours, you will have unexpected money arrive in your life in some way so that you can continue the cycle of the 60-40 principle. And people are like, "How can you guarantee that?" I said, because I've not had a single person that didn't. Even the guy who contacted me and said, "Oh, yay, I found a penny in the dryer." He goes, "Oh, yay, now I can 60-40 it." And he was being rather sarcastic, but what was funny was what he didn't know was his wife had also texted me and said she had just received a check for $250 that she wasn't expecting. So the family
worked out.
It does work out. So that's what I recommend as far as starting, is just start with a pot of cash, whether it's $10, $20, split it up according to what we're talking about, and then just keep doing that every single time. And that is a great way to begin. And also in your show notes, this is for your listeners, we will have a free online course, and I have a book called Ditch Your Debt While Banking Bucks, and you'll get the digital book, and you'll also get the online course to kind of keep supporting you. And then every Friday I have open office hours, almost every Friday I have open office hours where you can come on, ask me questions. Do not try to do this by yourself. Okay. Yeah. Come on to my open Friday coffee, ask me questions. And if you're like, "Janine, I can't do it, I'm working during that time," then email me, for heaven's sake, or find me on LinkedIn and text me. But, you know, don't try to do all this stuff by yourself. People who are incredibly successful, they get a lot of hate. But guess what? They had a lot of support while they were becoming successful. So I want you to be successful, okay? So let's make sure that you have a support group.
Yeah, and there's so many people, there's so many podcast authors, YouTube people that can answer your questions. So just be willing to ask. If you're stuck on something, just ask somebody. There's I guarantee every previous guest, every future guest on my show, and of course, Janine would be happy to answer questions that come her way. So this has been fantastic. I loved your advice of find someone's system and stick to it, because I do think that's where the danger lies, is when you're bouncing between things, because you're never really seeing the fruits of your labors come through, so to speak. But that's fantastic. And I liken the idea of money coming into your life as you implement the principle of, you know, when you buy that used car and then suddenly you see it everywhere. It's that same sort of thing. You're going to just continue to see it happen in your life more and more as you become more aware of it. But awesome. Of course, we'll have links to everything you mentioned and your website, of course, in the show notes. But my final question here, Janine, is what is one thing you wish you would have known sooner when it comes to money?
Oh, the rule of 72.
That's a good one. I'm so thankful. I learned that my freshman year of college. Econ 101 class or something. And I think about it often, that I'm grateful that he taught us that.
Yes, exactly. And there are so many wonderful people on YouTube that explain the rule of 72 that I'm not going to bother your listeners with explaining it. But it truly is, when you understand the power that comes from compound interest, that is the area you definitely want to maximize.
Yes. It is absolutely worth maximizing. I love that. It's a great note to leave this on. Janine, thank you so much for joining us here on Money Talk with Skylar Fleming.
It's wonderful being here. Thank you so much. You guys have a great day, and wishing you much abundance.
Thank you so much to Janine for coming on and that great interview. I know I learned a lot as we were discussing and talking about her 60-40 principle. I think it's impactful because it's going to allow you to get a foundation underneath you. And also, let's dream a little bit. What can go towards your 40%? What can your 40% do in your life? I know she mentioned making sure you're saving money, both short and long term, and then making sure you're giving money, both philanthropically and in sort of a tithing method. But what can your 40% go towards? Even just think of your 20%. What is 20% now going to allow you to do in the long term? And also, let's think about what would it look like for you to live on 60% of your income? And I know we talked about applying the 60-40 rule to found money and bonuses and things like that. But what if you expanded this practice to your entire life? Living on 60% of your income is a crazy number to get to. But that would be a huge deal if you had so much room in your income that you could flex however you needed to. Say there truly was a month that was more expensive than others, you have 40% cushion that you can cut into with your income. Of course, you don't want to do that because you become a habitual saver by saving 40% of your income to go towards short-term, long-term, and then giving. It's really a great place to be in. I can't imagine, honestly, living on 60% of your income seems like this grand goal that if you even get close to it, is going to help you go a long way. And then I also want to talk about the impact of being debt-free. What does it mean to you to be debt-free? Can you describe it? I would encourage you to find someone who is debt-free and ask them what it feels like. Like Janine said, it's not really something you can just describe. It's a certain kind of feeling and it's awesome. So find someone who is debt-free and ask them what it's like to be debt-free. And if you haven't had any experience with debt, consider yourself lucky because either you're young or you've managed to avoid it, and that's fantastic. Ask someone who's been in debt and got out of it. Ask them what it's like to get out of debt. It's going to be an eye-opening experience for you, and that can leave a big impact to help you stay away from debt. But next, I want to talk about the money talking points. The first money talking point is, how does becoming aware of your financial situation help you make changes? Well, first, you can't change something that you're not aware of. So you need to make sure you're tracking your expenses, tracking your income, because it becomes a whole lot easier to make those changes when you're actually tracking what's going on in your life. It feels a whole lot less overwhelming. It may still feel stressful, but it's going to feel possible as well, because that overwhelming nature of making these big, grand, sweeping changes is gone when you're actually tracking your money and know what it's doing. So think about this. This is how you can get that change going in your life. Here's your actionable insight for the episode. So listen closely, take some notes. What is an area of your life that you feel is really hard to change? I left a moment there for you to pause and think about it. What's something in your life that feels really hard to change? Now work on tracking the information around that and then figure out what to change or figure out how to change from there, because that's how you can actually make lasting change, is by gathering information and making an informed decision to figure out what you want to change. So take that area of your life that feels really hard to change and start gathering information around it. And let's bring this back to money. What if that area of your life that's really hard to change, that you always feel like you're just spending too much money? Are you tracking your expenses? A great place to start would be to track your expenses, because that's going to help you figure out what you need to change, because you're going to then realize how much money you're actually spending. But if you're not tracking it, how are you going to know what to change? So make sure you're tracking expenses, income, things like that, and then go out and make easier changes in your life. The second money talking point is, are rules of thumb good for you to implement, or are they just extra noise in the background just there to confuse us? I think rules of thumb are good, but I really liked the advice that Janine gave to sit on the rule of thumb for a little bit and think about it first. I think that's really where we get in trouble. Like, think about it. How many times have you gotten yourself confused, overwhelmed, or stressed because you tried to implement too many things all at once? Find one rule, whether it's someone's baby steps, the financial order of operations, or some other podcast or my podcast giving you a piece of advice that you feel like is very applicable to your life. Think about it for a few days. How are you actually going to implement this into your life? Don't just do it on a whim. Sit on it for a few days and then add it into your life slowly, and don't try to take on too much at once. Change slowly so that it can really stick. Like, if you loved the 60-40 principle and that's what you want to do, commit to it for a specific period of time. Say, any extra money I find, I'm going to do the 60-40 principle for the next 3 months. And journal. That goes back to a couple episodes ago where we were encouraged to journal and write down your emotions that you feel with money, especially as you're applying the 60-40 principle, or really any other principle you have in your life. I have an episode coming up about friction in our lives, and journaling and doing things a little slower can help you make simple and easy decisions by adding some friction and making it a little bit harder to do the wrong thing. But that does it for today's episode. I thought this was a great one. So thank you to everyone for listening. Thank you especially for Janine for coming on the episode and sharing our 60-40 principle with us. It's a great way to split up your found money. I'd be very interested to see this applied in someone's entire life. Like I said, if you're able to live on 60% of your income, that would be a huge deal. You could do so much with the remaining 40% of your income. It would set you up forever. So if you're considering applying this and living only on 60% of your income, reach out and let's go through the process together on this podcast. I think that'd be really fun. Of course, make sure you're being generous and giving some of your money away. But thanks to Janine for coming on this episode. You can find her online in the show notes, of course. But thank you all, especially for listening to this show. I want to continue to grow this podcast so bad. And the only way to do that is by leaving 5-star reviews, by sharing with your friends, and by having money talks. And if you know someone who would be interested in coming on the show or has a cool money story, please reach out. My information, of course, is in the show notes. But I have some great episodes coming up. I have a great episode with my wife coming up where we talk all about saving for our trip to Hawaii. And I'm working on those episodes now that you're going to hear while we're in Hawaii. So stay tuned for more great episodes. And make sure to subscribe wherever you like to listen to podcasts and share with a friend. And like I said, I really want to see the podcast grow. We're a little bit smaller than we used to be, so I want to really get roaring and growing again. And by sharing with your friends, that's the best way to do that. So thank you to everyone who stuck it out to the end here. Thank you so much for listening. I really do appreciate it. It's fun to see the numbers grow and know that there's people listening to what I have to share about money, which is crazy and so much fun. But thank you for listening to Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. I'm your host, Skylar Fleming. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. This show is provided for informational and entertainment purposes and may not be specific to your unique situation. Please be sure to do additional research before making any financial decisions.